How's everybody this morning? Blessed. Excellent. Excellent. Glad you are here this morning. Glad you're worshiping with us. Is it just me or is there special anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning? You feel that? I feel that. Glad that you are here. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're really especially glad that you're visiting with us. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. We invite you to fill that out and let us know you were here. There's no requirement for you to do that, but we'd love for you to do that. And you can leave it in the seat pocket in front of you. And if you'd like to be on our email list, put your email down there and check the little box and we'll get you added to that. Just a quick note. How many of you have downloaded the Wiley Methodist app? A bunch of you. How many of you are going to do it this afternoon? All right, we got one doing it this afternoon, two doing it this afternoon. Awesome, awesome. Lots of stuff on there for you to keep up with. How many of you know about Right Now Media? All right, better question. How many of you don't know what I'm talking about when I say Right Now Media? Okay, this is a resource that you guys need to take advantage of. The church pays for this, so it's absolutely free to you. And there are literally thousands and thousands of resources on this Right Now Media. If you'll download our app, there is a, is it under media, Billy? Under media. And then there's a Right Now Media under the media tab, and you can request a log on for that. And it has Bible study. If you want to study any book in the Bible, just type in that name, and there's going to be dozens probably of Bible studies and available to you. If you have children, you're missing out on a resource. I'm telling you, there are thousands of resources for children on there. Anyway, the church pays for that, and even if you're not a member of our church, if you're visiting today, you're still entitled to the privileges of that. So we need to announce that more often because I think a lot of people don't know we have that resource. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Beginning in verse 1, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, speaking of the church, Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We know that you are already here. We ask that you would speak to us. Speak in power and authority and transform us, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, continue the sermon series today, second week, Saul to Paul. Last week we talked about how Saul, before he became Paul, Saul was a man of passion. That even before he became a Christian, Saul was a man of passion. He was passionately persecuting the church. And God saw something in that passion that he could tap into, something that he could use to his glory. Today, we will have the message, A Man Transformed by Christ. So what happens is God, he takes this passion and he transforms it through the love of Christ for his purposes. To transform, I kind of looked this up, to transform, a definition for that could be to make a thorough or dramatic change. There's something that is transformed in a person to make a dramatic change. How many of us, and you can raise your hand, have been transformed by the love of Christ? Something changes. Now sometimes, I a few years ago, Cheryl and I was talking about this, and she said, I don't ever remember that moment, that specific moment where everything changed. It's like, I've just always believed in God. I've just always had that. And I said, Cheryl, some people need a thunderstorm and some people just need a gentle shower. And for you, it was just this gentle shower of God just raining on you, just sprinkling on you your whole life. For me, I needed a thunderstorm. I needed God to just kind of, just kind of give me one of these. So don't think that just because you haven't had that dramatic Damascus Road experience that you somehow don't know God, because it can happen to us in different ways. But I want us to understand that, I've said this before, but standing in a garage doesn't make a car. Going to church doesn't make us a Christian. Being good doesn't make us a Christian. It's not this set of this theological rules, or it's the transformation that comes by Christ. That's what happens in us that really makes us a believer in Jesus Christ. I spoke a few weeks ago, and Cheryl and I saw the movie, The Case for Christ. Did anybody see the movie about Lee Strobel's life? Good movie, and but just to kind of touch on that, Lee Strobel was an atheist, and he was back in around 1980. And he and his wife both were atheists. I think she classified herself as an agnostic, and which just means I don't know. An atheist says I don't believe, and an agnostic says I just don't really know. And his wife became a Christian, and it upset Lee Strobel. He didn't like her becoming a Christian. He thought, okay, this is going to change everything, And she began to teach. They had a little daughter. She began to teach her daughter that God loved her, radical stuff like that, and Lee Strobel didn't like that. And so he set out to, he was a newspaper investigative reporter. He was also had a law degree. He was trained in investigative reporting and following the facts. And he decided, I'm going to prove this Christianity thing is a hoax. And so he set out for, a little over a year and a half, he set out to disprove the gospel. And about a year and a half later, guess what? He became a Christian. And he, in his own words, he says, it took more, I realized after I gathered all of this evidence, I realized that it took more faith to not believe than to believe. And so there was something that transformed in Lee Strobel. And now, some 37 years later, he has written many books on Christianity. He's become a pastor. He's a godly man and has changed no telling how many lives through his writing and his preaching he has changed. Something dramatically changed in Lee Strobel. He met Jesus. He met Jesus. So that leads me into my points today as we look at this scripture and as we look at this transition from Saul to Paul after Christ came in the picture. So a transformed life involves first an encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus. And, you know, so Paul in his story, we see in verse 3 through 6 that he's on his way. He's literally on his way to persecute the church. And Damascus, if you read a little bit of the history of Damascus, it was a center for trade. And so a lot of people would come to Damascus and they would trade goods and then they would go back out. And so it was this hub. And Saul knew that if the gospel took root in Damascus, that it was going to impact a lot of different places. And so he's going right to the heart. He's going to Damascus to persecute the church. And I find it interesting when he encounters Jesus on the road, Jesus doesn't say, "Stop persecuting my church." He says, "Stop persecuting me." Because Jesus was who he was really. The ultimate persecution was happening to Jesus himself. So we understand that if we are going to live a transformed life, we must have an encounter with Jesus Christ. It begins that Paul, for Saul, it was this man of passion that became this man of transformation. Secondly, a transformed life involves conviction of the heart. Something has to happen. Yes, we can process with our mind. Like with Lee Strobel, he gathered information with his mind, but what took place after he had gathered this information was a transformation of the heart. Ananias, in verse 17, Ananias said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who had appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. I want to tell you that we have a lot of people in our culture with scales covering their eyes. Even in our churches, we even have pastors, I believe, whose scales are, there are scales covering our eyes, that we are somehow blinded to the truth. Something has to happen when we encounter Jesus, this transformation of the heart. Something, we have to go from blindness to sight. I love the prodigal son. It's probably one of my favorite, it is my favorite parable that Jesus told. It's one of my favorite scriptures. But we know the story. It's in Luke 15, and Jesus tells this parable with the two sons, and one asks for his inheritance, and he goes off and squanders it, and he finds himself feeding on the actual pig food that he's supposed to be feeding the pigs. He finds himself eating off of that food. And it says that in the midst of that, he came to his senses. There's this conviction of the heart. He understood that I've messed up. And we know the rest of the story. He leaves and he heads back to the Father. And he's humbly coming back to the Father, not expecting to be taken back as his son, but he comes back expecting or requesting that, "Let me just be one of your servants, because your servants eat pretty good. I just want to, let me be one of your hired hands." And we know that Jesus tells a story that the Father, which is the God figure, runs on the road. He sees his son approaching. He runs on the road and he embraces him and he throws a party. Put a robe on his shoulders, put a ring on his fingers, put sandals on his feet, slay the fatted calf. My son who was dead is now alive again. So there's but it began with this conviction of the heart from the prodigal. Saul was convicted on the road to Damascus. And when Jesus came, and when he sent Ananias to pray, scales fell from his eyes. Something was going on in the heart for Saul. Thirdly, a transformed life involves baptism and a filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, well, we see here that as soon as the scales fall from his eyes, it says that Ananias says, "The Lord Jesus has sent me so that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit." The Spirit must be involved. There must be something happening on a spiritual level, not just on a level of our flesh and our intellect. That you may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something from like scales fell from his eyes. He got up and was what? Baptized. So I want to stop here a second and just say this. If you have not, first of all, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I really would love to visit with you because he loves you. He loves you. I loved what Trevor said earlier about your conversation with your son. Nothing will change from the fact that you're my son and I love you. You're my daughter and I love you. And that's the way God feels about us. But Scripture also tells us that not only are we to profess God with our mouth, but we are to be baptized. It's an important piece of what we do, how we respond to God. And this, so I just encourage you, if you've not accepted Christ or if you've not been baptized, please come and visit with me. I would love to talk more about that, answer questions that you have. So it was even important for Saul to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be baptized. And now look at the fourth thing here, what that leads to. A transformed life involves proclamation of the good news. That's a fancy word, says go and tell someone. What do I say every Sunday when we close? I remember it had been about 5 years into my preaching here. Someone in the church wanted to, I don't know if you've seen it on the little brick column that as you exit, it says, go tell someone. And they came to me with a drawing and said, would it be okay? You think it'd be okay for me to have this done and put this on the column? I'm going, yeah, it'd be awesome. I love that. Where'd you hear that? And they said, you say it every Sunday. And I honestly didn't even realize I was saying it. I do now. It since that day, I realize that I say that. And it's with more intentionality. But this, when God has transformed our hearts, he calls us to proclaim it. Tell somebody. It's not just for us. The gospel is not just for us. Jesus is his great commission to us. Go and make disciples. Go, that's a verb. That means do something. For us to just sit and receive is not the gospel. And listen to this. A few weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday, I preached on Acts chapter 2. But when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it says that it describes that event that where the Holy Spirit came. And it says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. There it is. And they began. They began to do stuff. That's when the church launched. Prior to that, they just were having a prayer meeting, which was important, but they weren't doing anything. They were just praying. They were waiting. Jesus said, pray and wait, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit came, they began. The church began. The gospel began to be spread. Now, what happens when Saul, receives the Holy Spirit, he's baptized at once, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. At once, Saul began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. This same Saul who had been persecuting the church, this same Saul who was seeking permission from the high priest, he was saying, hey, can I go arrest people? If they're part of these Christian guys, can I go arrest them and bring them to you and you can put them in prison or put them to death or whatever? That same Saul immediately at once began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. What about us? What about us, church? I mean, if God has really transformed us. I remember the scripture of the scales falling from our eyes. I remember that moment when Christ became real to me. I suddenly saw things differently. It wasn't because, you know, I went to a bunch of classes or seminars or whatever. A filling of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly it's like, oh my goodness, I see being a daddy different. I see being a husband different. I see being a disciple for Christ different. I see being just a man in this world differently. I see the issues that we fuss about all the time in our world, I see them differently. Scales fall from our eyes and we are transformed by the love of Christ. And at that moment, what God is saying, begin. At once, Saul began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to invite you to watch this short video. I ran across this. To me, it's a powerful testimony. I want you to listen to this, if you would.
My name is John Joseph. From an early age, I was totally immersed in sin. And as I grew older, the nature and degree of my sin became more grievous. As I transitioned into college and early adulthood, the roots of sin that had taken hold in the past began to flourish and define my life in every possible way. Giving myself completely to sin, I eventually became an alcoholic, a drug user, and a cocaine dealer. I dishonored my parents. I was a liar. I used everyone and everything for personal gain and was full of lust, greed, and hate. But God, in His mercy, removed me from my surroundings and brought me to Baltimore, Maryland. In late 2008, while at Blockbuster, I came across Bill Maher's mockumentary entitled Religious. After watching the documentary, I was annoyed at Maher's obvious bias in his portrayal of religion. And so I got on Google and searched for a debate on Christianity. What I found was Ravi Zacharias, and over the course of the next year, Ravi would completely dismantle everything I believed in. As I continued to search for more teaching on the web, God in His mercy would eventually lead me to Desiring God Ministries. On January 5th of 2010, I sat down to listen to a message on John 3:16. And prior to beginning the sermon, Mr. Piper prayed that somebody would be brought from the darkness and into the light. Being faithful and true, our Father answered. Not 5 minutes into the message, as I sat devastated by the reality of my sin and the impending judgment that awaited, I knew that I deserved hell. I knew that I was going to hell. I was, however, then overwhelmed by the knowledge that my sins had been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And our Father's kindness and mercy did not stop at salvation, as He has continued giving in ways beyond what I could ever imagine. He eventually led me to a good church, where through sound teaching and fellowship, He has caused me to grow. And has changed my heart to want to serve Him every area of my life for the rest of my life and for the glory of His name. Had you seen me 3 years ago, you would have likely thought I was unreachable. There's no reason for me to be standing here. I still can't believe that I'm standing here outside of God's power. But I stand here by grace as a testament to the power of the gospel. There is not a soul in this world that is too lost or too dead or too far from God's reach. You need to tell everyone this gospel. Do not underestimate the power of this gospel.
Do you hear that last sentence? Do not underestimate the power of this gospel. The power, we sing about it almost every Sunday. The power is not in our goodness. The power is not in this church. Power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. Do not underestimate the power of this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we'll have an opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper. You've heard this probably before, but from me, but you know, this meal, I'm ashamed to say it, but for my younger life, being raised in the church, it was really just, you know, made us get out late. That was it. For me, I might miss a kickoff. There might be a long line at Luby's. Remember Luby's? But this is a precious meal. There's power in this gospel. The broken body and the shed blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. For you and for I, he said, this is my body broken for you. He took the cup and he blessed it and he said, and this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you. If you pray with me. Father, thank you for this bread and this cup. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son Jesus. May they be for us the body and blood of Jesus, broken and spilled out for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we come to this table not as a perfect people, but as a redeemed people. So our transformation, our redemption, it begins with confession. It begins with repentance. So if you would, just bow your heads for just a moment. Just confess to God that you are not holy, but He is. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. Amen. If those who are serving and our praise team and sound team will come. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who repent of their sin and earnestly seek him and repent of their sin. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are welcome here. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If Christ is your Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome. But you're also, it's okay if you don't want to be served today. That's okay as well. We hope you feel welcome to do that. There will be two stations here and two stations here where you'll be given a piece of bread and you dip it into the cup, partake in that manner. The center section has the individual cups and the individual bread. If you'd like to be served in that manner, you can come to the center. Christ invites us. Come. Church, do not underestimate the power of this gospel. Go and take your transformation and share it. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.